Now, as you study the scriptures, you realize that the Lord has given himself many names. And, you know, that's kind of what separates man from God. I mean, we receive our name from our parents. You know, they give us our name when we're born. But, you know, the Lord was never born. You know, he's the Ancient of Days, no beginning or end. And he's given himself many names. But, you know, I think he's done that because he wants to reveal to us what he's like, so that we can understand the God that we serve. And, you know, one of the names I want to look at with you is in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29. And let's turn to 1 Samuel 15 and verse 29 and see one of his names that I think is very important to us, or can be important to us. And it says, "And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." But here's where the Lord is kind of giving himself a name, or you could say revealing himself to us, is that he's the strength of Israel. And he's not just the God of Israel or the leader or the shepherd, but he's the strength. And that's a message to us, is that, and a good name to remember, and encouraging to remember as well, is that he's our strength. He's not just the one that we can look to and say, okay, there's the way, walk ye in it, right? But you can see the way. How many of us know that you can see which way to go, but it's another thing to have the strength to go in that way? Right? God's not just saying, here's the way. He's saying, I'm going to give you strength to go in the way, because I'm the strength of Israel. And sometimes we go through seasons where we feel strong, you know, we feel strength, we feel good. And other times we go through seasons where we don't feel strong, and where it's the lack, you know, it's the opposite. We feel the lack, and we have to cry out to God, Lord, give me strength. Lord, I need strength to get through. And he's available for that because he's the strength of Israel. And of course, you know, we're looking here at the spiritual aspect, is we're the Israel of God, as Paul says in Galatians. He wants to fill us with his strength, and he also wants us to be known for his strength. And I think that's one of the sad things today in the church, is not really seen, you could say, on a whole, they're not really known for strength, you know, to stand in the ways of God or follow God or showing his strength. But I think that in the days to come, he's going to reveal his strength, and it's even going to be seen in his people, and his people will be known for strength. Lord, bring us into that soon. You know, strength is a characteristic of the overcomer. And one of the great symbols of an overcomer, one of examples in scripture, is Caleb. You know, Caleb was one of the spies that went into the land, and he saw the giants in the land. And we know the story. He came back saying, God is more than able to bring us into this land and give it to us. And, you know, speaking many years later to Moses and to Joshua, and let's turn to Joshua chapter 14, and I want to see his statement. This is one of the most remarkable statements that you can read when you're looking back on your past life. Maybe going on into the same place as Caleb, naturally, and you'll understand as we read this here. But yet he looks back, and here's his perspective. Joshua 14 and verse 10. He says, this is Caleb speaking. And he says, "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses." Now, 40 and 5 years, that's from the time he went in to spy the land. So it's been 45 years after that period. "Even since the Lord spoke this word unto me while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now this day I'm 85 years old." All right, so he's up there. He's going into the land, and he's still keeping at it. But look at what he says next. But he says, verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war, to go out, to come in." Verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." Caleb was a man of strength. He was an overcomer. You know, those same giants that Israel ran from, he declared it by faith that they could do it. But those same giants, 45 years later, he defeated because he had the strength of the Lord. And we can know that was not natural strength, right? In the natural, it's not normal for you to get stronger the older you go. I mean, you know, that's true maybe when you're a young man, but you know, that's not natural. But that's in the natural. And you know, the Old Testament is kind of that natural picture. We can look what happened naturally happened spiritually for us. And so if Caleb just got, you know, his strength just increased and kept on going, and we're saying increase because by 85 he should not have been that strong. You know, his strength just kept going in the natural. That tells us something in that what we can experience in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual life. That as we walk with God, you know, maybe when we get saved, we're like little babes in Christ, and you know, it kind of blows our mind, right? When we come into the kingdom, it's like, whoa. Then we start to grow and we process these things. We exercise ourselves in faith. We get a little stronger. But you know, it doesn't matter how old we are and how long we've been in Christ. It's as if strength can just increase and increase. And we can come into the strength of God. And that's what we have to look forward to. The more we walk with the Lord, the more we increase in His kingdom, we can just look forward to strength upon strength. And that's exciting to look at that with the Lord, because we want to go from strength to strength, to be filled with His strength. And, you know, we can see this throughout Scripture. And that's what this is one of the aspects that really sets the saints of God apart, and even the great ones apart, is strength. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 33, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about these great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. It says, they subdued kingdoms. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong. They were taken through a lot of weak situations. But in that weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of those that came against them, because they experienced the strength of the Lord. They were in desperate situations, and they overcame, not by their own right arm, not by their sword, but by the strength of Israel. And I think the key is in this, and we're going to look at this later, is out of weakness, we're made strong. And that doesn't really make sense when we're trying to work it through with our natural mind. How can you be weak to be strong? But we'll look at that later. But I want to just consider, what kind of strength are we talking about? Is it strength to lift weights, or even strength to, you know, maybe just to get through something? Well, strength to endure. I think we can understand from the Greek word used for strength here, and many times in the New Testament, it's the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. And that's where we get our word dynamite from. That gives us a little picture of what kind of power we're talking about. It's not just muscle fiber strength. It's explosive strength. You know, it's miraculous power, ability, might, or mighty work. And, you know, just, you know, this can be just like Caleb received strength. I think God wants us to receive this kind of strength in our lives. You know, strength to break bondages, to obtain promises, to wax valiant in fight, to turn to flight our enemies. You know, the gates of hell cannot stand before us. Why? Well, if you stick a dynamite to a gate, what's going to happen? It's going to turn into splinters. But that's what happens in the spiritual realm when we're filled with the strength of the Lord. That when we have His strength in our hearts and in our lives, you know, the enemy cannot stand before us. Of course, if we don't have His strength, you can do all you want to against a big heavy gate and you're not going to get through. Because it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit. And you know, we can look at this and we could say, okay, God is strong. He wants to give us His strength. But But you know, he desires to freely give it to us. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, you look at the scriptures and you say, well, sometimes it's like, well, it's out there somewhere. Kind of, and sometimes you can, in your natural mind, think, well, God's like a, you know, holding a stick, carrot on a stick and kind of dangling it before us, and we can just, you know, but that's not what God is like with this. He desires to fill us with strength. And I'll just give a few verses here, and, you know, you can jot these down if you're taking notes or whatever, but in Psalm 18 and verse 32, Psalm 18 and verse 32, it says, "It is God that clothes me, girds me with strength, and makes my way perfect," or makes it complete. God wants to clothe us with strength as a garment. You know, so when we walk in our own way, we have another garment on. It's our weakness. You know, where we're if we're relying upon ourselves, then it's weakness. But God wants to exchange that garment for a garment of strength. Now, that's a garment that depends totally upon Him and upon Him leading us and guiding us and walking in His way. You know, Samson, you could say he had that garment of strength until he started going off. And God was gracious. I think God, if I was in God's shoes, thankfully I'm not, I probably would have taken that garment a long time ago from Samson. But, you know, he was gracious until that time when Samson crossed that line and it was removed. But, you know, we have to walk in God's ways and allow Him to put that garment upon us so that our way can be perfect or complete in Him. Another verse in Psalm 144 in verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." You know, when we get strength from God, it's actually the strength that can actually teach us how to fight. Sometimes we don't know how to defeat our enemies because we haven't received strength from God. And it's as if David is saying, you know, the Lord is my strength. And when I meet Him as my strength, it's as if my hands, all of a sudden, they know what to do. And we're talking about in the Spirit, you know, as we're going, all of a sudden, it's as if we know how to fight because we're filled with the strength of God. One more verse, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Maybe Paul is talking to his spiritual son. And he said, "Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." But of power. And that word power is that same word, dunamis. He's given us that dynamite power. We don't have to fear. We can have the spirit of power that will destroy our enemies. And, you know, He wants to clothe us with that anointing. And in fact, the spirit of might, that's actually one of the anointings of the Holy Spirit that we can have flowing and developing in our lives. It was one of the seven spirits that rested upon Christ, the spirit of might. And, you know, if we're in a difficult situation and we need strength from God, we can cry out for the spirit of God to come. And, you know, "Lord, clothe me with your strength because I'm weak." And, you know, thank God that when we're weak, we're really good candidates. You know, when we're strong in ourselves, not so much. But when we allow God to bring us low to where we'll just rely on Him, that's when we're candidates for His strength. And actually, I wanted to look a little more in that, the development of His strength, because it's a process, you know, even though it's an anointing, you know, an anointing can come upon us, but yet even there's that aspect of the anointing that it's developed in our lives, that as we walk with the Lord and we come to know Him and the ways of His Spirit, it must be developed. And, you know, there's that aspect of receiving and seeking for the strength of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, we kind of get some instruction on how we're going to obtain strength. Sometimes we think, well, the Lord will just, you know, I'll just fall from the sky when I need it. Sometimes the Lord's gracious in doing that. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek the Lord and His strength, and seek His face continually." You know, the commandment is seek His strength. It's as if there's something where we have to cry out to the Lord and make that our purpose. Lord, I need your strength today. Because, you know, when we're focusing on the strength of the Lord, we will focus less on our strength and on our ability. Lord, I can't do it without you. Not, Lord, I can do it. Maybe help me out a little bit, but I'm okay. Well, sometimes that's what we can be like in our natural man. You know, we want to major on the presence of God and on his strength. You know, Elijah, one of the things that he always said was, you know, he says, the Lord God before whom I stand. The Lord God before whom I stand. And it's almost as if I'm always standing in the presence of the Lord. That's how I'm walking as this prophet of power, because I'm always standing in the presence of God. And you know, that's really the key to the strength of the Lord, is to always be experiencing his presence, always seeking him, always spending time with him. And then we know the strength of God. And so we want to, you know, to continually seek his face. You know, each day, Lord, I'm seeking you today. I'm seeking your presence and your strength, that I can do what you're calling me to do. You know, Paul's wish for the Ephesian church was exactly this. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, here was, you could say, one of his greatest desires for the church that he was raising up. Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That was the greatest desire, you could say, or one of the ultimate desires he wanted for the churches that he was leaving behind as he was going on to be with the Lord. You know, it's my desire that you be strengthened by the Spirit of God. You know, to be strengthened. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, and why we cannot neglect the Spirit of God and the development, you know, and why Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gifts that are within you. Don't let them get dusty, right? If you leave something too long and you pick it up on, oh, you start coughing and sneezing because all the dust, you know, we don't want the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit to be like that spiritually, you know, that they've sat there so long. You know, I've known many people that were filled with the Spirit. But then when you say, well, you speak in tongues. Well, I did at one point, but I don't know if I can remember anymore because it's so dusty. They haven't done it. You know, we want to stir up those gifts and use them. You know, speaking in tongues, worshiping in the Spirit, because it's an avenue for the strength of the Lord to come. And sometimes I have to get on myself. It's like, well, when's the last time I spoke in tongues? Well, I guess I did for like 20 seconds the other day, and I have to remind myself, no, it takes a little more. You know, we want to flow in the Spirit. And Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. That's it. Yeah, that, I think that he left that as a challenge for the whole church, that if he did it that much, we need to follow in his footsteps, because it's so wonderful when the Holy Spirit can pray through us. I often pray and I'm like, well, Lord, I don't really know what to pray in this situation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, that he can pray through us, because he knows exactly what needs to be said to the Heavenly Father. And if, you know, you can sit back and relax and just pray in tongues, and he prays the perfect prayer. But that is the strength of the God being developed in us. And so we want to come into his presence where we obtain strength. But I want to look at this aspect. You know, we've looked at the Spirit of God and the strength of God, and we understand, we practice the presence of God, as a wonderful book is entitled. But yet there's an aspect where strength is developed, that we mentioned before, through weakness. And I just want to consider that for a moment, because in reality, this is where the rubber meets the road, on the strength of God, of the Lord being developed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here's where the Apostle Paul experienced strength. And here's how he really developed strength in his life, or it's an example of it. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, persecution, distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And, you know, the Bible and the New Testament talks a lot about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the kingdom of God. And I think this is one of those aspects of the mystery, because the only way that we can go up in the kingdom is we go down first. The only way that we can get strong in the kingdom is to be weak first. And, you know, there's this truth that at times we could be doing just fine. You know, even just reading the book of Job the other day, what did Job do to deserve his trial? Well, it's not that he did something. It's that God wanted to do something. And so he, you know, Job was a very righteous man. And you read about what he did. And sometimes, I just think, well, Job, you put us all to shame. About what a righteous man he was. How he helped the poor and cared for others. No one ever went hungry around him or, you know, without a garment. And you read about what he did. But yet the Lord took him through this situation because he wanted to work something in him. And so what did he do? He made him weak. Weaker than I care to imagine, you know, about the Lord taking us through things. You know, Lord have mercy. But, you know, in the end, he became very strong. He received the double portion, and he already had a pretty big portion before. But God wanted to increase it, so he took him through that time of weakness. And, you know, there's times when it's like, Lord, what did I do wrong to go through this experience? And, you know, if the Lord would respond, he might say, well, you didn't do anything wrong. Or maybe there's a little reliance on your own strength, and so there's weakness that we're brought into. But it's not to punish us or to spank us. It's so that we will learn to rely upon the strength of the God. You know, that it's in weakness when we allow God to leave us in that place of weakness. And that's our choice, right? We can choose, you know, Lord, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to be weak so that you can meet me and fill me with your strength. Of course, in that we can choose to trying to find strength in our own way. You know, we can turn to other avenues to find strength and we miss out on the strength of the Lord. But it's an opportunity that allow God to bring us into weakness and exchange that for his strength. You know, and so the Apostle Paul, he realized this. His eyes were opened. And he said, therefore, now that I realize this, and I don't think it was at this moment, but in his life, he realized, hey, when I'm weak, that's when I'm a candidate for the strength of God. Therefore, if I see calamity coming, I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to run towards it. I'm going to give it a big bear hug because I know it's going to produce strength, supernatural strength in me. I haven't gotten to that place yet where I'll give calamity a big bear hug yet, but yeah, Lord, lead us in your time. But, you know, he was the apostle of long suffering, so maybe that was unique to his his calling. I don't know. But, you know, it was that idea, is that he experienced such strength from God because he allowed God to bring him low. And that did something in him. When I am weak, then I am strong. And we know the weakness he was brought through. You know, he had such great revelation, and at this time he had a weakness, a thorn in the flesh, he said. And he didn't like it. Even the great Apostle Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times, Lord, would you just get this out of the way? I need to do things here. And the idea, we don't know for sure, but it's thought that it could have been his eyesight. Here he is writing epistles and letters to churches, and he might have had poor eyesight. You know, one of the churches in his Galatian church said, he said of them, well, you would have given me your own eyes if you could have. So we thought, well, he might have had poor eyesight. And he signed his letters with large hands, large handwriting at the end. Maybe he just needed some reading glasses that didn't exist back in the day. But, you know, so he's probably praying by faith, Lord, heal my eyes. And why not? He's the Apostle Paul. He needs good eyesight. But the Lord said, allow this weakness to remain in your life so that I can reveal my strength. And he was willing. And so that is one of the ways that God can develop strength. And so we don't want to push away necessarily those times of weakness and where God brings us low, because it's an opportunity for strength. And in those times, that's when we can be renewed, strengthened, revived, built up. It's like the famous and precious verses in Isaiah 40. You know, Isaiah 40 in verse 29, he gives power, not to the mighty, but he gives power to the faint. And to those that have no might, he increases in strength. And even the young men will faint. You know, maybe they're going through a hard time, but those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't faint, because they've waited upon the Lord. And even in their times of fainting and, you know, times of weakness, they were willing to wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They also inherit the earth too. So we want to be those. And, you know, this can happen. Just one last little thought here. You know, this can happen in different seasons as well. For Job, we know it was this huge culminating experience. He probably had other experiences before, but, you know, really, sometimes the Lord will take us through a time of weakness, and he meets with us and he gives us strength, and we're doing good, we're running after the Lord, and then maybe there's another season. And, you know, really how God works is he takes us through times and seasons where we're doing good, we're filled with the strength of God, but then there's another season. Maybe it's a little darker. Maybe it's even the valley of the shadow. And we have to trust in him and wait upon him. But, you know, it allows God to bring us up to a new level of strength. As it says in Psalm 84 and verse 5, blesses the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are in the ways of them who, passing through the valley of tears, the valley of Baca, they make it a well, and the rain fills the pools. And because they go through this experience, it says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God, because they pass through these valleys, they go through these experiences, they have the tears, they have the weakness, but as they wait upon the Lord, trusting in him, Lord, this doesn't look good right now, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust in you. You're going to do something. I'm just believing by faith. And as they do that, now the promise isn't that it'll come immediately. Sometimes you got to wait for the morning, and you just have to have a song in the night of praising the Lord. But then the morning comes and it's filled with strength. You know, and we go from strength to strength to strength. We start climbing the heights of Zion, where his presence is. And so let's be willing. It's not an easy process. It's a humbling process. But yet it's the process that we can really know the strength of Israel, that we can come to know our God. And that's the place where we can say along with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when you allow him to take you through those seasons, well, then there's nothing you can't go through, because it's the strength of God that preserves us, that fulfills us, that lifts us up. And so let's call today upon the strength of Israel, and he will not fail to meet with us. Let's ask him to refill us and refresh us so that we can soar like the eagles and dwell with him in heavenly places. And then we can, like Caleb, we can take the mountain of our inheritance. And Father, we're just so grateful that you are our King, you're our God, you're our Good Shepherd. But Lord, we're grateful today that you are the strength of Israel. And Lord, as we are with you, Lord, we're your church and your people, the Israel of God. Lord, we just want to call upon you today as our strength, as our Redeemer. Oh God, Lord, even just fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit today, with your Spirit of might and power. Lord, that you would just meet with us in a fresh way. And Lord, just carry us through. Lord, we know we go through seasons. And Lord, whatever season we're in, we pray that you would teach us. And Lord, lead us in that way of waiting upon you. Lord, setting our hope in the living God who will one day lift us up in 1 hour, lift us up in new strength and new might. Oh, fill us with that hope and expectation, Lord, that we would embrace whatever you're bringing us through, knowing that you will bring strength. Lord, send strength now upon your people. Let there be a fresh infilling. Let your river flow. Let it wash away, Lord, the things of yesterday and the past. Lord, let our eyes be set upon the strength of Israel, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Maybe we can just stand in closing and sing a little chorus as a response to